Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Thanks for coming back. This is a very special episode of Middle of Somewhere, because you're going to get to hear me say something that I don't say very often. I don't know shit about shit. I thought I knew some stuff about figure skating. I've been watching figure skating for, let me do the math, let's do this, 15 years, and I thought I knew what was going on, but it turns out I don't, because... you know, when people fall down, if they're not your kid, it just doesn't fucking matter. It's so crazy. So here's the thing. It's Olivia's last skating thing for ever and ever. And so I'm dialed in. I'm hyper-focused on this thing. The second to the last one, she got sick before the competition. I mentioned, hey, if you're going to do something, let's go out with a bang, drink some fruit punch Gatorade. And if you puke on the ice, that's going to stain the ice for, I don't know, until they make new ice. So I thought that would be real funny. And so, but she didn't want to do that. And she's taking it very seriously because figure skating is a sport where you clap with your fingertips into your palm very lightly. It sucks. You can't bang on the glass. People look at you weird. So anyways, I go to this thing and I'm really excited. I'm hyper focused. I go into the concession stand. I order myself a coffee. Do you know how you make coffee at a concession stand? You flick a little spout and hold a cup underneath it. That's all it takes. So I was waiting there for 10 minutes. And finally, it was two high school students. One was a girl and one was a boy. And the boy kept talking to the girl. And I said, hey, man, can you try to get laid after you give me my fucking coffee? Because now I'm hot. I'm ready to rock. Olivia's testing. She's nervous, which makes me nervous. And then she failed. She failed both tests. And everyone failed. Everyone in the whole morning failed all the tests. And so when the judges walked by, I said, let me tell you what happened. Why I'm riled up. Because moms are very strategic. Moms know what they do. They go find a dad.
I have a question just because I'm loving everything that's happening. What do you mean tests? Do they...
Yeah, so you can, she's testing the dancing and the moves, and you have to pass them to get this, like, gold jacket. You get a fucking gold jacket.
So you it's a test. Is this the actual competition, or do you pass the test and then you compete later?
It's not a competition. It's just a test, but you also can compete without passing the test. This is strictly for, like, dance moves and making sure you know all the shit on your skates.
Okay, gotcha. Like, so this is a whole separate prize-based situation.
Yeah. And moms know everything. I didn't think I had to learn stuff. Here's what I think when I judge. I go, oh, you fell down twice and you fell down once, so the one that fell down once wins. That's not even close. It's not even fucking close to what happens. So the moms, what they do is they find a dad that's on his phone all by himself that already looks grumpy. And then they circle him and they start saying things like, well, these judges are crazy today. I'm going to go get them some donuts from the Casey's, try to sweeten them up a little bit. I can't believe they haven't passed anybody. And they look at you and they go, oh, we're breaking him. I can see him snapping. So then I fucking snap.
They're
and then the judges walk out.
You up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Riling me up. And so the judges walk out. And I just go, hey, where are you guys going? To eat some babies? You guys seem like a ton of fun. So now I'm the asshole and all the moms are like, we did it. We got them. We got the judges via through that asshole. And so I'm just losing my mind. And then also the next day she gets there and she's jazzed up and she fell one time and everyone else fell two times and she did not win. And fuck skating. I'm so glad it's over. Across from me, as always, Cy Amundsen.
What is a Manchurian candidate? I was trying to look it up quick, but what's a Manchurian candidate?
Manchurian candidate is where they basically, they have you programmed. They're programming your brain. So later, 7 years in the future, they can go, the rooster says cock-a-doodle-doo, and you kill a president.
So they were, these moms were kind of Manchurian candidating you.
Without question. And I fucking knew it because one of them was side-eyeing me a bunch of times. I knew they were riling me up, but I was already super pissed because you get girls leaving the arena crying and then they walk by you to go to the bathroom to cry longer in the stall. And it's like, well, fuck this. What's going on in there? There's no way no one passed. You just get these assholes. And then listen to this. So one of the judges circled, you have three sheets. There are three judges. Two of them have to pass you, right? They have to circle pass or they have to circle retry. One of the judges failed Olivia and still circled pass. So when Olivia is just looking at the sheets, she thought she passed, but then she didn't because the score isn't a passing score. So then I was like, hey, Who is, well, I shouldn't say it, but who is Eileen? Of course, Eileen is a skating judge's name. I was like, who's Eileen? And she was like, hi, I am. I go, well, now I'm judging you. You spend all day judging people. How about you circle the right fucking thing? It's one of two things. It's not like you had nine things to circle. You circle pass or retry, you dumb twit.
The idea.
I am in a good mood, except we got talking about skating and now look, I'm hot.
The idea of you in some small town arena not getting your coffee on time, watching children in sparkly dresses cry past you, and then being goaded by a herd of like manipulative, feisty moms just into this ultimate moment of aggressive, embarrassing behavior. Oh, I love it. Hi, Chad. It's nice to see you. I love it.
Oh, it's great. It's great to be here. It's so good to be here.
I have not dealt with a group of moms, but I dealt with a very interesting couple this week. So there is the Ohio Valley Antique Mall is by my house.
Sure there is. Sure.
And whew, that place is like home to me. Are you kidding me? There's like 500. I'm going to do antique dealers. I'm going to do the air quotes.
Okay,
because
sure.
I don't know if a bag full of pool balls that are only the stripes is necessarily an antique. You think your VHS tape of Ernest Goes to Camp is an antique? So I love it. It's like hillbilly heaven for me. I show up there. I'm around my people. It's like some real Jeff Foxworthy gypsy style shit. There's
sure.
Travis Tritt playing the whole time. And I don't even think it's Pandora. It's either a Travis Tritt CD or he's in back somewhere like, hey, well, I'll be here all week at the Ohio Valley Antique Mall.
If you can only play nine ball because you only got the solids, you might be a redneck.
So I just go there and walk around sometimes and just look at things. I just love it. And I'm perusing. And then, well, I shouldn't say I look at things. I bring things home. And Jenna goes, sure. What the fuck are we going to do with that? And so I just have a number of things that there's no place for them. But they're all pretty cool.
You know what I call an antique mall? I call it pre-hoarders.
Sure.
Because that's what it is. Yeah.
So I am looking at one of the little antique-y shop, because they're technically vendors, but they're all clumped together. It's like an intense garage sale. And they have this coffee mug, and it's the face. It's not a round, smooth coffee mug. It's got a face, and the features of the face push out of the coffee mug. And it's an old, droopy cowboy. Big old Sam Elliott mustache. He looked like he'd been on the range. And I'm getting this for my dad. It's great. He's going to enjoy it. I'm getting it for my father. And I'm holding it and looking at it. And then I hear a voice behind me go, hey, are you going to buy that? And I turn and there's a woman with a shopping cart. And I didn't even know they have shopping carts. I haven't seen.
That's rough. Yeah.
I'm worried she brought her own shopping cart. And she's got a man who I at this point believe to be her husband about 6 feet behind her.
Okay, social distancing.
I go, I was thinking about it, and she goes, I was going to buy that. And I said, okay. She goes, I saw it. I knew I wanted to buy it, but then we were just going to make another loop, and then I was going to pick it up. And I said, okay. And she goes, can I have it? And I go, are you serious right now? She goes, yeah, I think it's really cute and I really, really want it. And I was like, well, I also really, really want it. But she had this really, figure skating. It was this very aggressive PTA dance mom energy. And she was like, we just moved here from Michigan and we're trying to make our new home feel like home. And I just really love it so much. Does it mean a lot to you? And I wanted to go, is that a real question? Like, what's happening right now?
Also, if you want to make your new home feel like your old home, fucking bring your stuff. Did you leave all your stuff in Michigan? What do you mean? Are you on the run from the law? What do you mean? You need to fuck off, lady.
Also, you're gonna walk around your house and go, God, it just doesn't feel like home. And then you open a cabinet and see a coffee cup shaped like a cowboy's face and go, ooh, there we go. You know? And so it's insanity. But I could feel the energy, and I'm not going to get into the whole, like, I also want it. And I didn't have the desire. I don't want to ruin this place for myself. I don't want to get thrown out. And I don't want to have a negative experience. It's a nice escape for me. I wander around. I look at shit and I enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. And so I go, you know what? It clearly means a lot to you. You can have the cowboy face mug. And I give it to her. She's very nice. She's very excited. She says, thank you. Thank you so much. That's very, very nice of you. And she goes, oh, by the way, my name is Liza. And this is my husband, David. And David doesn't even make eye contact. He's just back there. And then she motors on with her cart, and the husband kind of doesn't move. And it's been a moment, and she's now like a ways away, and now he starts moving, and he kind of leans into me, and he goes, her name's Elizabeth. And I was like, what? He goes, her name's Elizabeth. She's been calling herself Liza for about a year. And I
mean, they could be on the run from the law. She's changed her name.
I immediately recognize that energy, because you and I both recognize the energy of somebody who's working on something and the way people speak. Like, you're at the grocery store and you see a husband say to his wife, like, the fact that we're not getting mandarin oranges makes me feel isolated and ignored. And I know when somebody's working through something, that is not what's happening here. I also recognize this is this guy is out the door. These two are going separate paths and there's no one pulling them back together. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I knew he'd keep going. And he goes, yep. Her parents call her Beth. I call her Lizzie. And a year ago, she started calling herself Liza. No one calls her that. And then he just kept walking.
He needed to tell someone that so badly. He didn't think he was going to have a chance to tell anyone that. And then there you are holding that Sam Elliott mug. And he just goes, in 5 minutes, I'm going to be able to finally tell someone what a fucking dip my wife is.
The fact that he stood back there for that whole conversation and just heard her introduce herself. He's like, I can't take it. I got to tell this guy what's up. you'd be real proud of me. On the way out, they were like, not checking out, but they were walking down the aisle towards checkout. And I did wave and I go, hey, it was like, thanks again, Liza. It was nice to meet you. Like, I did have to say her name out loud just so that guy knew I wasn't necessarily on his team. But man, it's funny two ways. One, to just see that moment between, like, just an exhausted, like, you know, I'm not into this anymore. That's a funny moment. Mm-hmm. I know that's probably a sad moment, but it's also funny when it happens in the Ohio Valley Antique Mall. And I'm fascinated by those people who, like, have a very normal name. You're born Eloise, and you're like, everybody calls me Easy. You're like, I don't think they do. That feels like
No one calls you EC.
That feels like something you came up with when you decided you wanted to be a writer. You know, like, there's no one who calls you EC.
Also, that's a really slippery slope to the word easy. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you want people calling you Easy.
Easy EC. I love it. Sleazy EC.
I think the name was Lucy, but they all call her Loose. I think they thought I seen her on Ace the 40 Deuce. That's Beastie Boys. Doesn't matter. May I tell you this?
Sure.
I am in a contest, as you know, a calorie burning contest.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
I know, it's because it's all we talk about. I'm not even in the contest with you, and it's what we talk about as friends.
I know, because it's non-fucking-stop. That's why. I am awake for, I probably sleep I don't know, I'm going to say 10 hours.
It's a lot.
So I'm awake for 24 hours. So four of those 14 hours.
You're awake for 14 hours.
14, yeah, that's what I meant. I skipped the math part in my head. So I'm awake for 14 hours, and I am working out for four of those hours. It's pure insanity. Because what Zach does is he works out early in the morning, gets his metabolism going, burning extra calories. Then he apparently he has to shovel a football field because he told me he was shoveling. And then 4 hours later, he was like, I just got done shoveling. It's like, well, what the fuck are you shoveling? But anyways, I want to be very clear about something. I trust Zach. I know he is a good man.
Zach Martina, yes.
The fact that some days I think he's passing his watch off to his children and making them run around the house. Sometimes that thought does enter my head, even though I know he would never do it. So I'm at the gym for 2 hours. I was on the elliptical for an hour and then walked on a treadmill and watched TV at my house for an hour. It's too much working out. Right?
It's way too much.
So I'm almost done at the gym the next day. And here's what I'm doing. I'm doing the leg press.
Okay.
And then I'm going into another room to do, it's called a Roman chair. Yeah.
Before we go on, I need to relay to the audience the reality of this situation, because I spoke with you during the final part of that on the treadmill at home while you were walking.
Yeah, I was walking on the treadmill. That's right.
You and I had a 10-minute conversation while you thud breathed your way. And I feel like that's payback for all the time I've eaten chips while you've called me to talk to me about something you care about.
Of course. Yeah, here's the thing. I'm breathing hard. I'm on a 6 incline at 4 miles per hour. Yes. And I'm power walking up a fucking fake hill while I'm watching TV in my bedroom. And then you are just like, so I was just wondering if you have, do you know how many calories you burn on it? It's fucking ridiculous. So all you do is ever eat. Anytime I talk to you,
I mean,
fucking
it's not that dramatic.
No,
you're just mad because
no.
I'm eating. You're mad. I mean, it's both.
Yeah, of course I'm mad because you're eating, because you're always fucking eating, or you have food in your beard or mustache because you just ate. It's some shit with food with you, and I'm always going to be the zero in the number 10 when we stand by each other. I can't handle it. It's like you stand there looking like a one and here I am, just a little fucking bulldog. It's crazy. And so I'm fucking power walking talking to you. I'm out of breath and you're like, I'm just eating some IPA or whatever the fuck your thing is called.
AIP cookies. Continue.
Well, same difference. Oh yeah, IPA is a beer. Doesn't matter. The fact is I was working out way too long. I go to the gym and here's what I'm doing. I'm on the leg press machine, and then I have to go to another room. It's like you hook the back of your ankles, so your Achilles tendons are on a foam pad, and then there's another thing where your hips attach to it, and you bend forward, and then you do back extensions.
Gotcha. Right? I remember that thing.
So that's what I'm doing. So I'm tired. This is my last. It's called a superset when you do two exercises back to back. So I'm doing leg press, and then I'm doing this. And I can't do too much weight on the leg press, 230. That's my max. That's what my hip surgeon told me.
Okay.
And then I go in and I do this back extension with a 45-pound plate, and I'm feeling it in my bunzers, my butt cheeks. And now I'm grumpy because I'm at the gym. And I go out for my last thing. It was the last thing I had to do, and this guy had cleared off the leg press machine. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's another leg press machine right next to the one I was using.
Okay.
Right next to it.
Okay.
It was empty, not being used.
Okay.
And he goes, oh, were you still using this? And I go, I was. I go, I like to clear the weights when I'm done with stuff to let people know I'm done with it. And I go, what about this one right here? And then I go, Chad, please stop. But then he said, oh, well, I didn't know if you were done with it, so I just started taking the weights off. And that's when I snapped. I'm like, you didn't know if I was done with it? How do you get your information in other situations? Do you Google it? Or do you look in the newspaper? Do you go to the library and find microfiche? Or do you just ask the person that has the answer? I'm right in the thing. You could go, hey man, are you done with the leg press machine? But you didn't know. So you just took it off. You just assumed I was done. And I'm losing my fucking mind because I'm so tired and so hungry. And then this other kid walks by and he starts giggling and he just goes, oh man, you just made the podcast. And I started laughing so hard. I have never had a situation because back in the day we used to play basketball on 9-foot hoops.
Sure.
So you could jump and dunk on guys and it was so much fun. And then anytime you'd really dunk hard on somebody, that was what they'd say, because they'd go, oh man, you just made his Nike poster, because that's what Jordan used to say. Yeah. When he'd dunk on guys, he goes, you just made my next Nike poster. And the fact that this kid came over and goes, you just made the podcast, I was laughing forever, because I didn't know this kid listened to the podcast. I had no clue. Anyone knows who I am at the gym. Oh God, it was so fun, and it really calmed me down.
I just love that he can recognize the energy in you, that he knew where this whole situation was going.
Well, come on. You didn't know if I was done with the machine, so you just took fucking get the answer first, you weirdo. Plus, there's a leg press machine right next to it.
I love it. And I don't want to...
I'm in a good mood, too. It's crazy.
I don't want to rehash the least important part of that entire story, but I have been on a restricted diet, and when they come out with new foods like special cookies, and I haven't eaten cookies in a while, I want to be able to tell my friend about it without him, you know, falling apart and talking about how big his thighs and tits are. Like, you look great. There's a lot of people who think you look great.
They come out with new cookies every fucking 15 minutes.
Not for me.
The fact that we get to do an hour-long podcast every week is fascinating to me, because that means you're not eating for an entire hour. Sometimes you have to chug a protein shake before we start, because I'd hate for your body to burn all those intense calories while you stand in front of your fucking computer. I have no time for this conversation.
So I notified you and the audience recently of my attempts to walk door to door to purchase Jenna and I a home.
Let me hit this button. Cy finds a house!
So it wasn't going great originally, but I have an update.
Okay.
It worked.
That's a pretty good update.
Thank you. We found a little place around this lake. We are purchasing it, and it was really weird. So I had walked pretty much the entire lake, and okay. As I told you on a different episode, everyone was like, "Well, next time I move out of here, it's going to be because I'm deceased." Like, that was.
Right.
Everybody's going to die in their house, they've told me.
Yep.
So I get around the lake, and there's like these two houses on the far end of the lake, and I'm like, about to go home. I'm tired. I'm like, fuck it. I'll just stop quick. So I stop. I walk up. I knock on the door. They come to the door. I give them my little spiel, my little Cy pitch about give me your
Allie
house.
Allie McSpiel.
I give them my Allie sure. McSpiel. And I finish up, and the guy, my original reaction to him at the door was he's going to tell me to get lost, because that's what, mm-hmm. and not because of anything about him, but that's just basically what I've received. That's the energy sure. I've received.
Yeah.
So he does not do that. He goes very calmly and kindly goes, "Would you like to come inside?"
Oh, heavens.
I was like, I fuck sure wouldn't. Are you insane? What do you mean, would I like to come inside? No one invites yeah. anybody inside. I've been in a pandemic too long, but I was like, I'm not coming in your house to, like, no. Let's talk here at the door where I'm on the outside and in the escape area, and you're on the inside where the danger is.
Yeah.
And he goes, no. We are interested. Would you like to come inside? And I go, you know, I really would. That's very kind. And I know this is a divisive topic, and I'm not interested in everybody can do whatever they want. I'm just on a bunch of meds because of an autoimmune disease, so I have to be really careful, you know, during the pandemic stuff. And he goes, well, you know, we both have all our shots, and I used to work for the CDC. I was like, you know what? I think I'll come inside. Just right in here. You want me to come into the safe place where you guys take? Okay, I'm in. So.
And then you get there, and his living room is wrapped up in plastic, yeah, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he's just.
There is a new season of Dexter. That's right.
Yeah, CD. I wish I was smart and fast enough right now to come up with what CDC really stands for as relates to my murder and being chopped up. Like, size dick chopped or something. I don't know. Whatever. Like, that's, I don't have a clever something or another.
Comforting Dexter cuts. Sure.
Something like
We've
that.
Heard them all. We've heard them all.
Neither of us are on top of our game with this one. So let's just move past it. They show me the home. Mm-hmm. Jenna comes over. She sees the home. We have entered into a purchase agreement. We Ooh. Are moving.
Oh, good for you.
That's fun, right? And
you're the only person I know that's bought two houses in a year, and they're different houses.
Yeah, it's not a great smart situation, but I'm doing it.
Where are you guys going to move to next and buy a house? That's the real question.
Where are you? I think the next move is when you and I make the big move and get out of this place. Not to heaven. Not to heaven. I just didn't want to tell people where we're going. So there's a couple cool things with it. They are leaving it because they are moving. So they are going to leave it furnished. So we don't have to buy anything. That also means we get to have a garage sale for the stuff we don't want, which I am, you know me, big garage sale people. I love get people in, haggle them around. I love it. That's going to be a big moment for me. And then,
what is with the people in this area leaving all their shit in their house and starting over? Because what's going to happen is this couple that you're buying the house from is going to have to go to an antique mall and get weird about a coffee cup because they need their new place to feel like their old place. They said, bring your shit with you. Is U-Haul illegal in Ohio and Michigan? I don't understand what's happening.
The other thing about, it's a very small area and it's a very small community. And what we've already learned is everybody knows everybody. Because when I was walking around the neighborhood, I met one person. She's like, hey, if I hear of anyone, I'll let you know. Give me your number. So I gave her my cell phone number. And a few days after we'd agreed to buy this house, I got a text from her that said, congratulations. Like, how the fuck do you know? They're not even friends with these people.
Wow. And you know a very big secret about everyone on the lake is that they're living there forever and planning on dying in their house.
So the other thing is, it's like a very involved community where they have like boat parades on the 4th of July and wine tastings, and they're all in each. Dude, I'm going to have to work so hard to not become the villain of this community. I'm going to have to, Jenna's going to have like an interaction limits like on me for the rest of the neighborhood. I'm going to try really hard because I'm really pumped about the place, but it's, no promises.
I can't wait until this happens. Oh, I don't know if you heard about Cy, but he's got a podcast. We should listen to it, honey. And then 2 weeks later, we are on this fucking podcast. He doesn't like us. Did you know that? It's going to be good. I can't wait for the fucking downfall. You're going to have to move and buy another house.
Can I tell you the only thing that I'm intending on purchasing for the home?
Please.
And you tell me if you feel like it's a good move. Big buck hunter machine.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
I have decided. Jenna is, it's furnished, but we still do need some things. And Jenna is upstairs making her life necessities list. Like,
sure.
Hey, they didn't actually leave silverware. We need silverware. We're going to have to buy a couple of towels for the upstairs bathroom, stuff like that. And I'm downstairs like, do I want a big buck hunter machine or an NBA Jam machine? And I can't.
Wait a minute. Don't you guys have silverware and towels?
We don't. That's like not every. It's furnished, but, they're taking some of like. It's, she's leaving.
Don't you have that stuff right now?
No, we're in a rental right now. A furnished rental.
Oh my God. So you guys have no life.
Yeah, we're hillbilly gypsies, brother. Hillbilly gypsies. That's a great Skeet McGraw song right there. Well, I move from town to town when I come around downtown now. As I'm moving to your house, I don't have shit. I'm so tired today. I couldn't do the CDC thing. Can't even pull off Skeet McGraw. Hope you've got stuff, because I ain't got nothing. No, I'm not even going to try. I'm quitting. I'm done. I got to go. I love you. Goodbye. Okay. I got to go. No, I don't have to go.
No,
I do have to go.
No,
I should go.
No. You should go, but I'm not letting you. How do you get a big buck hunter machine?
You go on the internet, and you sort through a long list of lunatics and psychos and try to find a reliable seller of an arcade game.
Oh, I hope that you have to meet someone. I hope you find one on Craigslist and you have to meet someone to go look at it, and it's fucking Liza. That would be so incredible.
I have always done this thing where anytime I've gotten anything in my career, and it's because I'm not very financially responsible, but anytime I've gotten something in my career, I decide to celebrate by buying myself a gift.
Sure.
And you know how when you first start doing stand-up and you think about getting TV appearances, you don't really understand how little money there is in it. Where you're like, man, right. If I could just get on Adam Devine's house party, whew, that'd really help my year out. And then you get your check. You're like, oh, well, guess I'll head over to the antique mall and look at coffee mugs.
Yeah. You're like, well, let's see here. I'm so excited I'm finally getting a chance to do the Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn, which was 100 years ago. Like, I guess I'll finally get that Rolex. And then you see your check and you're like, oh, shit, I would need to refinance everything in my life twice.
Yeah. So I always would buy myself something because I think it is important to celebrate. The career is hard. Creative careers are hard. Celebrate little milestones. Enjoy them. So I can't remember what it was that I got, but I bought myself, I was like, I've always wanted an arcade game. So I bought myself an NBA Jam / NFL Blitz arcade game. I spent, Chad, the entire check. And the thing is, I'm going to have to pay taxes on the check. So I went in the hole for this shit.
Yeah.
And I'd met the guy. He looked like a reputable seller. I drove a truck out to bumfuck California. And my roommate, I had to borrow my roommate, the stuntman / actor / former Chippendales dancers. I had to borrow his truck. I drive, Jenna and I, she goes with me. We drive way out into the sticks in California. We have a fancy dinner at an Outback Steakhouse. And then we get to this guy's garage. He's got a bunch of arcade games. He shows us, like, he plugs in, shows us that the machine is working and how it works. He then has this lift. He loads it into our truck. We drive it back to my home. Eric Allen, our friend Eric Allen, is living in the house as well. Eric, Jenna, and I slide a Blitz machine down a flight of stairs to try to get it into my home.
Pivot! Pivot!
We get it in the house and it's fucking broken.
Oh no.
It's fucking broken. And I'm like, oh, this is the worst. And I'm like, well, I'm going to fix it. And then shortly thereafter, I had to move back home to Minnesota. So when we took our U-Haul home, I did U-Haul the Blitz machine home. And so now, sitting in my brother Jess's garage in Minnesota is an unused, non-working NFL Blitz / NBA Jam machine that every 4 months he'll go to his shed and be like, hey, that machine's still out there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hire somebody to fix it. Because I think it's fixable, but I don't even know how to find someone like that. But I've always been a big... So this is kind of me trying to, you know... I like the idea of arcade games.
Uh-huh, sure.
So I'm getting it.
I think you can go to an arcade and there's if problems, call this number. And you could just call that number and figure out how to fix your machine.
That's interesting. Well, I'll never... That one from Minnesota is staying there. That's gonna... Jess listens to this show, and he's going to throw his phone in the lake when I say this, but that one's living up north forever. The real reason I like Big Buck Hunter is... So, A, it's just a great game, right? Are you a Big Buck Hunter guy, I assume?
I enjoy it. The main reason I play it is because I like cocking the gun with just one hand like I'm in an action movie.
Yeah, like you're Wyatt Earp. Yeah. Sure.
Yes, exactly.
So when my sister passed away, so when I was 18 years old, my sister died in a car accident.
Yes.
And my brother Greg was a couple years younger than me, and Greg and I's best friend, Joel, who is often mentioned on this show, same age as Greg. I think anybody who loses someone young unexpectedly, that's a really almost, you can't describe what it's like to go through that because it's just such an unusual experience. And you kind of find yourself doing whatever you can do to pass the time and occupy yourself. And we grew up in Worthington where there is nothing to do, you know. And there's a truck stop, the Blue Line truck stop. Hey, come on down to the Blue Line, the Blue Line truck stop. And they make the best omelets in the world. They're just a heart attack wrapped in egg. And so, while grieving and dealing with that, what my brother Greg and Joel and I would do is, because this is back when Buck Hunter was first invented, and it was, because now it's like you pay a dollar and you can go on a tour of Wyoming or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, right. You could pick where you go, yeah.
This was back in the day where you put a quarter in and you shot until you missed. Like you hunted a deer until you missed, and then that was an X, and you got three X's before you were kicked out. So it was like play until you lose. So we would just load up on $10, $20 of quarters, go fucking stuff ourselves with these heart attack omelets, and then we would just play Big Buck Hunter for like 4 or 5 hours trying to beat each other. And it was in the trucker lounge area. So the amount of truckers who had to walk by three children making noise while shooting fake, like guy who just drove from Dallas to, you know, on his way to Canada, just tired, misses his family, has to walk by three dumbass teenagers and one of them's holding a gun going, I'm about to shoot the biggest buck in all of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's really a nice memory in the midst of a bunch of horseshit. So I love Big Buck Hunter, and that's why I'm gonna get one of them. I want to try to get one of the original ones. I'm gonna set me some records, brother. I'm gonna set me some records.
Yeah, that is great to have that little memory. I have a video game memory that is not even close to that one. And so I'd like to just everyone to wipe their minds right now, because this is not any sort of comparison at all. So I used to work at a place called Stub and Herbs on the University of Minnesota campus. It's where I met one of my best friends in the world, Regan. He was a cook and I was a server. And there was a bartender slash manager named Jason. Jason didn't like me, at least that's what I thought. But, you know, I'd always get in there and I'd always, you know, try to be funny, try to loosen them up a little bit. And then one day I got invited to this secret club where it was right when Golden Tee came out. It was the first Golden Tee game and they had it at Stub and Herbs. And so he would lock the doors and then he would pour, how many ever people there were, four normally, he would pour four giant mugs of Hocker Shore Oktoberfest. And then he would bring three shot glasses or four shot glasses over to the table and he would pour Rumplemints. And so you would drink Hocker Shore beer and Rumplemints all night long and play Golden Tee and giggle and gamble. And and then Regan and I would walk home and it was always fun. There was a bridge. I'm mixing stories here, but there was a bridge that we were underneath one night and we were singing like we were in the 60s, just like, who wants to come under our bridge? And we were like doing the dances and everything and spinning.
Little Motowny.
Oh, absolutely. And then a cop stopped once and he was like, hey guys, we're getting some noise complaints. And we were like, no, it's cool, man. These are the oldies. So we're trying to like talk him into, we're not doing new loud music. This is good stuff. Tell the people, open their windows, enjoy it. So I'm telling you, you give me a Hocker Shore Oktoberfest and a shot of Rumplemints, and it's like a vodka Red Bull to me. It brings me back to 21 years old, no matter how old I am, no matter where I'm at in the country. And I was kind of a dick. I mean, when I get drunk, I don't know what chemicals are in both besides alcohol, but when they mix together in my body, it turns me into a giant shithead. I would always go right next to Stub and Herbs. There was a Subway sandwich shop. And I would go in there sometimes and I'd be like, you know, hey man, I'm just checking out the stuff, wondering if I could use the bathroom. And they'd go, yeah, we need your ID for the key or whatever. because somebody flushed it down the toilet one time. And I was like, oh, God, you just gave me the best idea ever. So I flushed the key down the toilet, and then I just never had my idea again. But that's the kind of shit it would make me do. So ridiculous. So here's why I tell you this.
Okay.
I drank a lot too much early in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like to party. And I believe that it's given me what some people call mush brain.
Sure.
Because I was in my car and I was driving to Minneapolis. I had to stop for gas in Alexandria, Minnesota. When I got out of my car. Yeah. Now this is I have just leased a new vehicle. And so there's different bells and whistles. And I get out and I think, oh my God, it smells like someone's been driving with their emergency brake on for an hour. And I go, shit, I need to figure out what this is about. And so there's also a truck, like a big moving truck, probably 30 yards away from me. And I go, I don't think it's that, because it was really cold and it smelled so sharp. And so I get back in the car and I start driving to Minneapolis. And I see that on my dashboard, there is the letter E. And I go, well, shit, that's emergency brake. So I have to pull over. And I have to go through my glove box and get the manual and try to figure out what it is. I can't find anything about it. I Google it, a bunch of videos, and I'm like, shit, this is crazy. So I make sure that I put the emergency brake on, take it off again. I'm driving and the fucking E is still there. And I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing. And then it turns to an SE and I go, oh Jesus Christ, that's my compass. I've been going east. I thought somehow I had my emergency brake on, but nope, I was just driving east until I slightly turned to the right and was going southeast.
Oh man, I love it.
What a dumb shit. I can't even believe that.
I have no comment. I have no commentary. I have nothing. End the show.
I was laughing for like 40 miles.
End the show, Justin. I love it. Oh.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.